Item number two is an application for closing of part of the public lane south of Rue Messager, east of Taché Avenue, for incorporation into DASZ 33 of 2011 under file DAC 19 of 2011. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following items will be heard at the same time, namely, item number three, which is an application for rezoning and subdivision for Hébert Street, Messager Street, and Saint-Joseph Street under file DASZ 33 of 2011, and item four, which is an application for variance at the same premises affected under file DAV 1577239/2011D.
Okay, Mr. Vogan, and I believe it's Susan Russell and Ravi Joshi with you to present?
Correct. I've got a couple of slides that I hope that will show up on this machine. I don't pretend to be an expert on how that would work. And on the other hand, I hope that Mr. Pate has the expertise available. Hello, my name is Eric Bogan from Qualico. Our address is 1 Dr. David Friesen Drive. I'm here this evening to speak to a rezoning application for an area point about. I would like to get a picture of things in front of you. Failing the screen here, I think we'll offer copies of a layout, which we have recently revised.
Can't get the screen to work. Just function F11, it should pop up.
You try that. Function F11.
Is that what it is? It should show a little screen there.
Sometimes it's 5, sometimes it's 8, or 5, 11.
I don't know. Function something. Was delete everything, sorry.
Well, I will move on in the, maybe just because it's so disappointing to have a screen that has nothing on it, we'll turn it off.
I got a call into somebody, Eric. I got an email into an AD guy to see if he's still around.
Okay. Well, let me begin in any event. We, Qualico, got involved with Pointe Barre several years ago when the opportunity to make a proposal for the redevelopment of the area came from the city. We recognize that this is an important area to the community and to the city, and also an important opportunity for Qualico to show its stuff in terms of infill development. This area has geographical importance, of course, being very handy to downtown, both St. Boniface and Winnipeg, and the Forks and whatnot. Huge historic and cultural implications as well. As I've worked in the area, I've had the chance to learn a bit more about the history of the area and meet a number of the people in the area, and it is indeed very rich with stories, history, and even some false moves. But what we're hoping to do here today is respond positively to the community's initiative to bring more population into North St. Boniface. We had met with the Residents Association of Old St. Boniface several years ago, and Sommet d'Habitation. There was a call to developers, come to North St. Boniface and let's get more people in there. This area north of the High Line, Pointe Barre, is a very special area, but indeed a small part of what can happen north of Provence. Ideally, our efforts and those of our sister company, Streetside, will be successful first steps in bringing a lot of people to both the parks in the North St. Boniface area, as well as the street life on Provence and Taché, and Rue Saint-Joseph, for that matter. We hope that we can draw people not only for the reasons mentioned above, geographical, historical, and cultural, but because it is a place where they can find homes of quality, diverse lifestyles, and places to work and play. We also expect and hope and even need urban design guidelines so that a blueprint for the remainder of the North St. Boniface area around St. Rue-Hébert and Pointe-Hébert is solid, so that people have a good idea of what to be expecting across the street on Taché, on both sides, what to expect in their parks. We also look forward to a resolution of the rapid transit corridor issue. There is, an alternate that's been recently made evident in the master transportation plan, showing that either this eastern transportation route would go through St. Boniface or through Point Douglas. I understand there are merits for each route, and I'm only looking forward to a speedy resolution of that issue because, of course, it would be very important to plan for transit capability if it indeed is going to arrive there. In summary, an environment conducive to redevelopment and good quality is necessary to bring enough people to warrant the park development that's so possible in the area if people are there, and to further offer residents to bring business to the services that could be happening on Provence. The first item of the three we have here is a lane closing. We had made our proposal prior to the city closing the lane, and because we figured early diligence was enough diligence, we missed the fact that the city opened a lane after we had started to work on the project, and we found that out only recently thanks to the efforts of your planner. We got caught on that. Nonetheless, our plan does include the lane as a closed right-of-way and part of a home site. But now, most importantly, we had looked forward to pushing the envelope and trying to bring some urban density to this area beyond just single family. Although in our proposal we had talked about single family as a base case, we were looking to provide more opportunities for density in Pointe-Hébert. After our spring open house and some work with some architects and planners and my colleagues, We recognize that there would be indeed probably ideally four multifamily sites on which we would put street-oriented townhomes on Message and Avayer. And we made our application that was publicized on that basis. When we received the planner's report on Thursday afternoon, we recognized that the idea of need of the flexibility we were looking for and where exactly we would locate a mid-block townhouse site on Message was causing many complications. As a result of that, we're proposing to reduce the amount of land we're seeking for rezoning to basically three parcels on the east side of each blocks of Message and Hébert. So the parcels that we would be talking about are the southwest corner of Rue Saint-Joseph and Rue Hébert, the northwest corner of those same streets, and the southwest corner of Message and Hébert. We would offer those street-oriented townhomes to face the same way as the homes adjacent. We have, I guess, an idea in mind that we've put into practice elsewhere where basically the density is a slight increase from single family. It would involve, instead of, let's say, three single family homes in a 100-foot area, it would involve four townhomes. And that's the kind of density we're committing to and seeking. We're not looking for show you pictures of a townhome and then showing up with an apartment block later. We're ready to commit to that density. The result of this slight amendment to our plan would reduce the number of units on Message by one, with the result that we would have 10 single-family homes on Message and then four townhomes at the east end of Message. On Hébert, there would be I keep on coming up with seven. We're going to do 10 on the 10 single-family lots or 8 single-family lots on the north side of Hébert and one townhome project. And on the south side, we have one lot which we had applied for rezoning. Giving up that and leaving that a single family would leave the lane in place south of Hébert, and the site to the east of that would remain multifamily. That would result in approximately 34 homes, 14 of which would be townhomes and the remainder single family. We have at this point not got a builder in mind for the townhomes. This is a concept that we want to take to certain builders to get their best thoughts. And as a result of that, I don't want to show you any pictures of exactly what it will be, but we will commit to street-oriented townhomes that would blend very well with single family, as we have done successfully in particular Sage Creek. Furthermore, we believe the fourth item of the third item we have there is a variance regarding an area for a multifamily site size. And with our revision to the reduced application, we no longer need that variance either. That would be on the small lot to the west of the lane on the south side of Hébert. So really what we're talking about here is the zoning on the east extremities of the properties and then the subject or the detail of the servicing agreement that must accompany the redevelopment of this area. With regard to the planner's report, and specifically the Schedule B, the ACG report within that planner's report, there are a number of things I'd like to address. Firstly, in Clause 1, there's a mention that we should we'd apply or install proper water mains. We walked into this area understanding that the water mains there were satisfactory for single-family development, and to that extent, we expect that the water mains, as they exist, will be satisfactory for that. Further, we had been made aware that if we wished to talk townhomes in the area, we would probably need to go to sprinklers in order to provide adequate firefighting pressure because the pressure available on the street is less than multifamily development would allow otherwise. So we're prepared to do that. However, if there is a discussion about replacing water mains, that puts the whole project out of the game. Secondly, in Clause 9 of the ACG report, there is a standard requirement there that I would dare say is a standard inclusion in the ACG report, where they talk about burying all hydro, MTS, and cable services. We expect to leave the overhead lines in place in the back lanes and provide service to the homes from those overhead lines. Installing existing overheads and putting them underground was basically seen as prohibitive from our discussions with Hydro, and they just said you don't want to ask when we talked about cost. Finally, regarding pavement, we had proposed to pave Messager to the east limit of 138 Messager from Taché. The report here talks about paving it further west to Taché, and that would be benefiting city-owned land and hopefully therefore considered to be at their cost. On the other hand, we understand that we are obliged in this servicing agreement to pave Hébert to Taché. Finally, in Clause 13, there's a discussion of cash in lieu. We see a number of confusing items in that, and we would just like to have it clarified that that would apply only to the lots being upzoned. In other words, lots 29 on the south side of Hébert, 30 to 32 on the north side of Hébert, and lots 51 to 54 on Messager. With that, I have no further comments to make, and I'm ready for questions.
Jeff?
Okay. Thank you, Eric. You here this evening? My first question is a more general one. Why the late change in what was presented to the city?
What we were looking to do was mix single-family and townhomes together in a harmonious way, and we did not know whether we would have two homes adjacent to a single or to a townhouse project, or three homes and then four homes later. And there were a number of other companies. They were looking for, well, can't we do this? And all the requirements that accompany multifamily zoning and then basically backing in to do single-family within that made us realize that we should just simplify it. And what it has done to our plan is eliminate one townhouse project and in its place leave three single-family lots. So we've basically reduced our proposed density by one unit, but I believe it is a lot simpler. We had also heard from the neighbors that they were very confused about what our goals are. They were very uncertain as to what townhomes were, especially when it was the zoning that was being branded on lots adjacent to their homes. And we thought that by just backing off to where we would be more likely and certain to find builders that could do this multifamily, that it would be better that way. So we're hopefully putting a lot of people at ease doing that.
So just so there's nothing lost in translation, on Messager, you're proposing seven single-family lots from the most easterly or westerly portion, seven single-family lots, and then a four-unit townhome.
It would be instead of seven single-family and eight townhomes, it would be 10 single-family and four townhomes.
10 single-family.
Yeah, and the single-family would be all in a row running east from the Lesage Mirier residence or the Montagne residence.
So what would be 35-foot lots, 30-foot lots?
If lane closing proceeds as hoped, they would average 33 feet, ranging perhaps from 30 to 36 feet. So we're looking to bring some builders in and get some real good ideas flowing before we decide exactly how to cut those. But they would be at a minimum 30 feet wide and at most 36 feet wide.
And we're looking at detached garages?
The plans we've been working with do have detached garages on the rear of the lots. There's a lot of depth there for a short driveway between the lane and the garage, as well as a good backyard. We've had some good success in Sage Creek with the rear-laned detached garage homes, where people find the backyard that is enclosed by the house and the garage to be a very comfy courtyard area.
Okay. Now, when you say townhome,
another question. When you say townhome, what exactly? These are attached dwellings.
Mm-hmm.
They are for sale. They're are
that's
they
right.
Condos?
The product that we have seen work with good success is a townhome under condominium title with a public street and a public rear lane, and fairly small projects. So Randall, as I had mentioned earlier, Randall Homes has done them successfully in Sage Creek. They were selling between $300,000 and $400,000 on back lanes, detached double garages. And the benefit of the condominium title is that there is a very simple common maintenance program done through the property manager. So you don't have to worry about the fella next door or having the other quarter of the unit painting his house purple. It would all be a common exterior finish subject to our controls and then maintained by the condo corp.
Okay.
So the street systems, the street layout and the back lane layout would stay the same?
As it is currently,
yes. No amendments there? The plan is to, have concrete on the streets and the back lanes?
Correct.
Okay. Park dedication. Now, I have a question to the administration. My understanding when you close the lane is that either the parties that own the opposite sides of the lane have opportunity to purchase that lane? Is that what's going to happen in this case?
Typically, if the applicant was closing the lane, he'd have he had the opportunity of buying the entire lane unless the other property owner came forward and expressed an interest to buy half.
So this is not our lane. This is the lane that is owned by Qualico?
No, not yet. It's a legally open right-of-way, so it's registered in the name of the Crown HMQ Manitoba. But we have jurisdiction to deal with it, to close it, and to sell it.
Okay. So the homeowners on the west side of the lane would have an opportunity to purchase half of the lane?
If they wanted to, if they came forward and expressed interest in it. If they were amenable to letting Qualico proceed with the entire closing, with the closing and the entire purchase, well, they could go ahead with that.
Okay. Okay.
You may be wise to ask for a comment on that from me. we have been in discussions with the property owner on the west side, and it's not certain yet as to whether they are interested in half the lane.
Okay, I'm looking at the ACG, your recommendations for ACG. Maybe I'll come back to that when you get a chance to rebut.
All right.
I don't have any more questions now.
I guess what I'm asking and what I'd like to know on it, Eric, is on the messager piece, you're suggesting that that's flankage and so it should be treated as city responsibility?
The western portion of Rue Messager? Our original proposal had shown concrete to the west limit of the last single-family home at 138 Messager, with it transitioning to the current finish on Taché immediately at that point. The ACG report talks about taking concrete in front of the city water and waste building.
Yeah. No, I understand where it is. But does the report say that they should pay for that piece of pavement? Or does it say that the city would, they'd be responsible for doing it, but the city would have to pay its share?
They're eligible for recoveries.
They're eligible for recoveries. And that's what you want to make sure.
That's right.
But do you have a recovery for that section of the
street? Yeah, and basically what I'm saying is if that obligation is there now, in my mind, should be at the city's expense to have that extra piece of pavement installed at this time.
Yeah, but if I'm hearing Kim correctly, he's saying that there isn't an obligation on you. There would be a recovery from the city.
If we are obliged, we'll be seeking recovery, yes.
Through the LI process.
Dan?
You mentioned you didn't have any renderings of the townhomes as to what the look will be like. Do you have any for the actual single-family homes?
We haven't gone to builders asking for designs specifically to the architectural control that we are developing for this area. We have, in Sage Creek and in St. Vitale, some good experience with quality lane homes. Generally, there are two stories, matter of fact, areas are a little larger than the townhomes. Townhomes have generally been in the neighborhood of 1,500 square feet, 1,600 square feet. The single-family homes would be 1,500 to up to 2,000 square feet. The things that we'll be respecting is proper presentation to the street. Of course, there'll be rear garages, therefore the garage won't get in the way of the front elevation, but a predominant entrance and a feature to the street that would take in the park across the street.
Okay.
So we haven't designed anything specific, but there's lots of ideas out there, I hope.
One of the recommendations, you're very familiar with this, is plan approval, that if indeed this is approved this evening, and we've got to hear from a whole bunch of other people, that the actual plans come back before community committee for community committee to have a look at the actual form of the development. You don't have a problem with that?
No, we would, given the reduced area where we're seeking rezoning, that would apply specifically to the multifamily sites. But nonetheless, we'd be happy to share our architectural controls in advance with the community and show what we're getting in terms of single-family interest as well.
Okay. Thank you. I have no more questions at this time.
I'm good, Eric. You can stand down. I've got Susan and Ravi here. I don't know if they want to add anything, or you're just here in support. I've called your name. You're just in support? Okay. Thank you very much. Next on my list, I have Norman Gousseau in support. Just in support, Norm? Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else here in support who wishes to speak but hasn't filled out one of these forms? No? Hearing none? Maybe just before I call the opposition, Eric, I'm going to ask you, can you leave one of those on the podium so people can see if they come down to speak what the change is, seeing as we don't have it up there in any sort of board format? Thank you. Okay, I've got in no particular order, and I'm going to have trouble reading some of the writing here I can see already. These are in opposition. Now, Riel Ryu, is it? Riel? Would you like to speak, Riel?
Bonjour. My name is Riel Ryu. I live at 171 Grandin Street. In regards to the application, I'm against the application as presented. What's been publicly noticed in public view there on the posters and et cetera. With this new information coming forth, it appears, just for clarity, it sounds like Mr. Vogan is rescinding his application to ask for his zoning that he's requiring for the actual public meeting that we're here for. This new information here should be dealt in a different manner. I believe that we should be looking at probably another public hearing and proper posting of this new information so we can do our calculations to ensure that that density is satisfactory to the neighborhood. It's just way too much information to take in for 15 minutes. The other point I want to bring up is the applicant acquires land. He got the land from the City of Winnipeg, 17 lots. We had an expression of interest done in 2005, which allowed them to have the land in their possession today. And it seems that we are veering far from the original proposal that all the stakeholders agreed on, including the City of Winnipeg, that allowed them to get their lands that they have in their possession right now. I don't understand why we're back here in a public meeting going through all this, trying to reinvent the wheel, redesign it, when in fact all the stakeholders approved it, and that's how they ended up with the land. The other point I want to make is, and I think it's a question to the planner, may have this answer or not, but Mr. Chairman, if I can ask a question to the planner, I'd like to know, on a residential piece of property, when you apply for a demolition permit, does the applicant require, a permission from the REAL community to remove a house without a building permit, is my question.
We'll take the question. We ask the administration at the end. But
okay. Having said that, I believe the answer would be no, you can't demolish a house without a building permit. So therefore, the lands known as the corner of Rue Hébert and Rue Saint-Joseph, two lots in question, there was two small houses there, and they were the applicant applied for a moving permit to move these houses off the property to another municipality, which is permissible. But at the end, there is no recipient at the end other than the Brady landfill site. So, and the Brady landfill site being another municipality doesn't require the City of Winnipeg to follow through to see where those homes went. What sounds strange is that the inspector would sign off that the houses have been removed. There was an attempt to move them, so they say, by jacks or whatever, and then the house was not movable, so therefore they were destroyed. And this is why the land is empty. And I think it's unfortunate that we have to create negative impacts into our neighborhood to encourage development. I'm a strong believer of single-family dwellings, and Nariubayed is a very suited street for single-family dwellings. That's a single-family building with a detached garage, which is all 90% of Nariubayed is developed in such a way. So I'm really questioning that why are we here today if the applicant came with a whole different plan, and should he not be rescinding his application and going public again with his new plan?
Dan, questions, comments?
Thanks, Ariad. I appreciate your concern with the changes, the last-minute changes, and we didn't see this coming either. But I will say this. The changes that are proposed are a downzone from what was originally proposed. And I believe that I'm not a planner either, but I think that this committee is allowed to downzone land if it has less of an impact in terms of density, but we're not allowed to upzone land. So just to be clear, what the applicant is asking for is 10 single-family lots on Messager as opposed to 7, 8 single-family lots on Hébert North as opposed to, I'm not sure how many there were, and a 2 on the south side for a total of 20 single-family lots and 14 townhomes. So it's, from a land use perspective, it's less intense than what was advertised. So it's not like we're going the other way.
I agree.
More density.
But again, it's a proposal, right? They don't have the RMA, the original density that they're requesting, right? They don't have it in their back pocket. They're only asking for it. Doesn't mean that they would have got it, and doesn't mean that we have to settle for something lesser than what they're asking for. But the point is that they're still here. And I think because of new information, it's not even, well, now it is.
Yeah,
the handful of people up here don't represent the whole community. And the whole community is not aware of these changes.
No.
And these are very significant changes. And I really think it should be, the present application should be rescinded and a new application should be put in, and then we can reflect what he's presenting right now.
Okay. I think we've got that point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, in opposition, I have Muriel Lamontagne and David Lesage. What is it?
Mireille.
Mireille? Mireille? Mireille?
Good evening. I'm Mireille Lamontagne from 138 Messager. I guess I would like to start out by reiterating the points that Rial just made, which is really we're not sure why we're here tonight if we're basically here to examine and discuss a whole different application, what should be a different application and what should be posted with yellow posters in the community so that everybody knows. I think the other point just right off the top is that we're looking at three items tonight that will have a very profound impact on the design of the community, and yet we've postponed the discussion on the design guidelines until December 5th. I guess I'm questioning how it is that we can go forward and make decisions on items 2, 3, and 4 if we haven't talked first about the design guidelines, which is the more important piece that will set the groundwork for these other issues. I'm going to start by talking in the meantime about what it is we are here for, which is about the proposed subdivision and rezoning of Hébert Street, Messager Street, and Saint-Joseph Street. I'm going to argue that while the zoning agreement plan may be consistent with the maximums allowed under the North St. Boniface secondary plan and the complete community's direction strategy, it is not consistent with a number of other things. Number one, it's not consistent with the mandate and recommendations of the October 22, 2003 City Council-approved DAZ-228-2003, which states that Messager and Hébert are in the low-density zone and meant to be developed as single-family detached residential units. So to explain a little better what I'm talking about is that while we have this North St. Boniface secondary plan, which gives the big vision for the entire North St. Boniface, the idea was that we all got together and made these decisions as a community to have a more specific plan for Pointe-Hébert so that we could avoid having to come back to City Council and have these debates in public eye all the time. So, and it's not consistent with the 2006 community-approved plan, options 1 and 2 of the Pointe-Hébert Housing Development Conceptual Master Plan drawn up by McGowan Russell on behalf of Qualico, which the city endorsed so that it could sell off city-owned land the following year without opposition from the community. I argue that the proposed zoning would indeed drastically move away from the intended form and density conceptualized for the community in that plan. I also argue that the servicing agreement as proposed will lead to injury for existing landowners other than Qualico in the community due to the imposition on them of a neighborhood improvement tax for the cost of infrastructure they should not be meant to pay and which will have the inevitable result of pushing more of the remaining residents out of the neighborhood. In July of 2002, the city was taking the first step toward disposing of its properties north of the High Line in an orderly and phased fashion. In order to proceed with the sale of these, on October 22, 2003, City Council approved DAZ-228-2003, which was a city-initiated rezoning of the original parcels of city-owned land that are in question tonight, one of which was rezoned R2T, and the remaining R13.5 single family, with the exception of two lots that were zoned RM1 for residential multifamily near Darvaux, where the more moderate density was to be focused. The recommendations of the 2002 City Council report, and therefore the mandate established for the area, included that the development be allowed to occur, but that densities be limited to principally single family, with the possibility of some low to medium density housing along the north side of Rue Darvaux and on the west side of Taché only. I won't go into the other things that the plan said because they're not relevant here. So to now allow increased density on Messager and Hébert after all of these years of consultation, despite the mandate being provided by council where it was clear what the density was to be on these streets, is not short of deceitful and frankly proves to me that consultation with the city might just be an entire waste of our precious time, because it seems the developer can always come in after the fact and change the plan however they wish. We have an opportunity here to finally increase the values of people's properties after so many years, but increasing the density on these streets will actually have the reverse effect. Our position is that this current zoning request is not consistent with the two plans drawn up by McGough and Russell. These plans were intended to bring more clarity and certainty to area landowners and residents as to the development intentions of Qualico with the land it had purchased from the city. And in this sense, it should trump the North St. Boniface secondary plan, which is intended for the broader area. It appears that since this time, this reasonable plan was simply cast aside by Qualico, opting for a much denser and less attractive and livable plan overall for its own benefit, in disregard for the existing community. Our only hope is that the city recognizes this fact and stands with the community who it is purported to represent in rejecting Qualico's inappropriate rezoning request for the streets, which is not endorsed by the community. The servicing agreement is another big issue. It basically absolves, in the way that it's described, the city of Winnipeg from all infrastructure, remediation, or development costs, including streetscapes, sewer and water, sidewalks, lighting, etc. The servicing agreement, as articulated in Schedule B of DASC 3311, does not absolve and therefore does not protect area landowners from having to pay for the costs of infrastructure development, however, in the form of a neighborhood improvement tax, so that the city is essentially offloading its responsibility to pay for the cost to the landowners. Existing landowners are not the ones who requested this redevelopment of their community. We think it's just perfect the way it is. It's Qualico who's seeking to redevelop the community, so why should we be made to pay for it? This problem is not new for La Pointe-des-Bêtes, as we all know. In fact, the desire of the many outside of our little community to see Pointe-des-Bêtes redeveloped at the cost of local residents and owners has gone on for 50-plus years, each time having caused either adverse or injurious effects on them. My question is, when will the city stop punishing the community for its lack of investment in the area all this time? The area is highly desirable. We know that. There is great potential for redevelopment. We know that, too. We're not against any and all forms of development, but against the unreasonable nature of this rezoning request. Let's not forget that the city originally acquired all of those lots of land now owned by Qualico by essentially forcing people out of the neighborhood due to an imposed all-out ban on construction and renovation to any of these homes and businesses in the area for over 35 years due to the potential of an extension of Whittier Park, and which Greg Selinger helped us lift in the 1990s after many families had already left. Many families lost their fortunes because of this. Those that remain are struggling to hang on to what they've got and make the most of what remains of their property values, and this artificial deflation of their property values. And after the city sat on that land for decades without having allowed it to renew itself and without collecting taxes on those properties, the city sold those properties to Qualico for a song, essentially $16,000 each, so that Qualico could now turn around and cause adverse effects and injury to the few of us that are left. The reason that Qualico got such a good deal on the land was because the intent was for Qualico to absorb the cost of infrastructure as it redeveloped the community. Numerous tripartite agreements, grant programs have been available over 50 years. I mean, just a few of them, the NIP program, the Core Area Initiative, the Winnipeg Development Agreement, Neighborhoods Alive. All of these grant programs, we've never benefited in Pointe-des-Bêtes from these grant programs. In fact, our neighborhood was often photographed and used to bring this sort of money into the neighborhood, but our neighborhood never actually benefited from it. So we've been neglected for a long time. And then there's a whole bunch of neighborhoods, 12 apparently neighborhoods in Winnipeg, including Lord Selkirk Park, Point Douglas, Spence, West Broadway, William White, Centennial, Daniel McIntyre, Dufferin, North Portage, St. John, St. Matthews, and West Alexander, that are all eligible for funding under, for example, Neighborhoods Alive. But Pointe-des-Bêtes, it does not have access to this because it's not considered core area. As a result, our neighborhood has been shortchanged and neglected. One only needs to go online to the City of Winnipeg website to see the elaborate redevelopment and renewal plans that the city has developed with area residents in all of these other neighborhoods. All we've got is two alternate drawings of the same plan, which we can at least say we all agreed to, and now even this is being disregarded. The bottom line is that this approach would not be acceptable anywhere else. Because we are so few people in the area, we have no voice. Qualico can ask for the sun, the moon, and the stars, but the city doesn't have to give it to them. If in the end it gets the sun and the moon, they may be satisfied, but what will we be left with? A neighborhood improvement tax in the thousands of dollars for each of us, where most of us could not afford that kind of bill and are left with no other choice than to leave. If this area is given special district status, then at minimum, the city should consider putting mechanisms in place that would allow existing property owners to be sheltered from injurious new taxes, that would essentially serve to remove the remaining residents and property owners so that Qualico would essentially have wiped out the existing community, paving the way for it to take over and do the same elsewhere. Likewise, giving the existing community access to home renovation and tax credits or grant programs to help them improve their properties would be necessary to ensure they don't inadvertently get thrown out of their own community now that taxes will go up and design guidelines will be put into place. This requires political will to move forward concurrently with development and a sense of moral obligation by the city for corrective action for the troubled history this neighborhood has had with the city. So those are my points on the zoning agreement and the servicing agreement. With regard to the lane closure at Messager, which is directly on the east side of my house, I have the following to say. Let's talk about why the lane was opened in the first place. Okay? The lane was opened in the first place because we all agreed to a plan in 2006. And that's why my husband and I decided that we were ready to go forward throughout the winter of 2006 to design our own home and started building in July of 2007. The design of our home and our lot takes the lane into consideration. So it was designed for that lane being there. Okay. The lane itself in question is substandard in width and area and does not in and of itself constitute a buildable lot at 5 meters or approximately 20 feet wide by the same depth as the other lots, which is 122.25. While the subject lane may not be physically in use or exist merely in a legal context, serving no apparent public transportation purpose, the lane was reopened in May of 2007 as part of the neighborhood enhancements and landscaping treatments in the McGowan-Russell Conceptual Master Plan for Pointe-Bad redevelopment, which was approved by the community to accommodate the proposed subdivision by council in December 2004 under DAS 19-2004. While the subdivision proposed under DAS 19-2004 was since abandoned by the city, the facts remain that the lane should stay for the following reasons. When the McGowan-Russell conceptual plan was approved by the city in 2006, the plan called for a lane beside our house for two purposes. One, as a service road for waste removal and fire, because options one and two of the plan showed Rue Messager being closed off from traffic with only single-family detached units on that street to increase, presumably, the value of the properties on that street. As well, there would have been no other way to service the street otherwise. And two, because of its irregular shape, it was either to create a buffer zone between our house and the new development or to be offered us for sale at a similar price as paid by Qualico for the adjoining land at $16,000 each so that we could standardize our lot size closer to the 10 42-foot lots that were planned for Messager at that time. Now we're talking, of course, about 33-foot lots, but that's because the plan keeps changing on a daily basis. Unfortunately, when the city did offer us an opportunity to purchase that land, the offer came in at $45,000, which was three times the cost that Qualico paid for each of those lots. So we turned it down as an unfair offer. If the city wants to see Messager rezoned to RMFS, or at least even the end part, I mean, up until tonight we thought it was most of Messager, which will inevitably mean greater density on Messager than agreed to in 2006, Qualico's proposed design guidelines would result in housing design inconsistent with mine and my husband's home design. And as such, we would expect that the minimum protection the city would afford us to protect the value of our investment would be to maintain the buffer zone of a lane between us and the new development. Following the approval of the 2006 conceptual master plan, where options 1 and 2 both showed a lane beside our property, we proceeded to have our architect design our home. I already talked to you about that. Furthermore, the lane is historical and has been a public street since 1876. It was only closed in 1987 by bylaw 468887 because it was the city's intention at the time to turn the neighborhood into an extension of Whittier Park.
Hey, we're getting off into areas here. Like, with this historic end of it isn't really pertinent for tonight. It was closed. It's opened. We understand that.
Okay, I'm getting to the end.
We try to keep people to about 10 minutes when they're giving presentations. So.
Okay.
There's a lot of people here tonight.
Yeah, I'm almost done. So, members of the committee, in short, we want the lane. Our house and property were designed for the lane. The lane was reopened in 2007 to better service the area, especially if higher density does come in. This is all the more reason to have better escape and service routes through Messager. Pointe-Bad is an enclave where there is only one way in and one way out. The more people that come into Pointe-Bad, the more this is a cause for safety concern, ensuring a sufficient number and configuration of access points to and from people's properties. Besides, the lane is historical and would allow for an excellent buffer zone for my husband and I. The injury here, as we see it, is that if the city makes a decision to do as Qualico wants and declare the land surplus, close the lane, and sell it to Qualico, it will cost me and my husband, not the city. When in 05-06 we finally saw that a reasonable plan for developing the community was going forward, we moved quickly so that our design could be consistent with the plan. It seems we're no longer seeing this lane. It seems every time we turn around, the plan is changing. So the way I see it, the city has two options here to help me and my husband mitigate the situation so that we maintain the value of our investment. If the city allows higher density development next to us, then at least give us the lane as a buffer zone and as an emergency and servicing access point, as well as to provide better access points for the increased number of residents needing to be serviced in the area. Alternately, if the city decides not to allow the higher density and stick to the original plan that was agreed to by everyone to have single-family detached residential units next to us, then why not give my husband and I the same opportunity to purchase the land at the same price that Qualico would have paid? In other words, let's stick to the original plan and work to standardize the lot sizes on Messager to modern 42-foot lots for the whole of Messager, including our house, affording us the opportunity to standardize our lot size, or let's conserve the original historic character of the neighborhood and maintain the lane and the 33-foot lots at R1 3.5 so that it's consistent with our existing property. Thank you.
Any questions, Dan? We don't do applause here, Community Committee.
Clap, please. Thank you, Mide. You constructed your house when?
In July 2007. The summer immediately following the development of the conceptual plan, master plan.
Okay. Pardon me. So I just want to make sure you're aware that what is on the table tonight is those three dark areas are the only areas proposed for rezoning. Everything else towards your house on Messager will stay as is,
mm-hmm.
which means there's going to be 10, according to what I have here, 10 single-family lots on Messager. And if
right.
it's approved, RMFS will be 4 townhomes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just want to make sure that
well, I think
we're on the
same
page.
The issue here, Dan, is that we've all of a sudden got a brand new plan up on the screen, and this is not what any of us were intending to come here to talk about tonight.
That.
So this is not what was posted on the yellow posters.
Which is why I'm saying what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I totally understand where you're coming from, where you hear about... There's such a long history here, I don't want to go back
of
too
course.
Far, because we'd be
yeah.
here all night.
Please don't.
I've always said that when development does happen, and if this is approved tonight, it will happen, hopefully next spring, that the existing homeowners that are there, it will not cost them a penny. And I can tell you that on Wednesday we'll be discussing an executive committee recommendation which will ensure that it will not cost the existing homeowners there now, including yourself, a penny for the charges.
So despite the fact that that's not currently in Schedule B, which is the servicing agreement?
No, it's not. It's,
okay.
It's a separate report.
It's a separate report.
It's a separate report. So,
good.
I haven't lost sight of that. I know Councillor Swandell is aware.
Something your good councillor moved another committee that's coming through council on Wednesday that will ensure that there is sufficient funds to pay for existing residents if there's ever any sort of what you referred to as a neighborhood improvement tax.
Yeah. Okay. Good. And then there's the issue of the lane, of course. So which, you know,
we'll go through that some more today. We understand your comments on it.
It's
difficult, you know, to deal with because it's really, you know, the lane is not your lane. It's not their lane. It's the public's lane.
Right.
We have to look at it in the context of the overall development and, of course, listening to your concerns.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next on my list, I have, sorry, I forgot about David.
It'll take me 2 seconds. David Lesage, 138 Messager. My main point is just the quickness at which this is happening and maybe giving people a little more time to look at a proper plan. And also that if the lane is being closed, that we are interested in purchasing a half. And that's about all. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Next on my list, I have Claude Ray Morin. Is that TH or TR? Claude, did you want to speak or are you just here in opposition? Okay, thank you, Claude. Andre Vermette and Caridad Quesada Lopez. Not originally from the neighborhood, I'm thinking. You're okay, Caridad? Andre is coming down.
Hello, I won't be long, probably 30 seconds. I came tonight to prepare.
You can take a minute if you want.
Okay, 1 minute. I came tonight prepared.
Oh, your address, Andre, for the record?
I'm a property owner at 154 Hébert Street. So I came tonight prepared to discuss about the Pointe Hébert Urban Design Guidelines. I now understand as of about an hour and a half ago that this has now been rescheduled. To a December date.
Maybe I'll let Dan give you some comment on it.
I laid it over because we're going to have a public meeting on that sometime December, January.
Okay, so just so I understand, when do I have the opportunity to, or is that date hasn't been set yet? Or?
No.
Okay.
It hasn't been set yet. You'll get notification.
Okay.
And then it'll come back here December or January.
Okay, understood. Just one last item, just because there was previous discussion about the additional taxes that would be charged to existing property owners, one concern or for the local improvement charges, one concern I have, I've heard the discussions about maybe a rule of only homeowners who have resided in Pointe Hébert for the last 6 months would be exempt of this local improvement charge. I just want to just state my position. I recently purchased 154 Hébert. My wife and I currently have a dream of rebuilding the property, so we do not currently reside there, but it is our dream lot or dream location. I just want you guys to take that into consideration when you guys do have discussions about who will be charged to the local improvement taxes. And that's about it.
If there are local improvement charges, they apply to everybody. There is no exemptions to them.
Okay, I misunderstood. I thought it would not be applicable to existing homeowners, but.
With Dan's motion, that's the case. The in general, they're applied across the board.
Okay, understood. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, next I have Walter Kleinschmidt.
Good evening, members of the committee. I'm here speaking on behalf of the Association of Residents of the area, also in Boniface. And as has already been noted, we came ready to speak to what was posted on the website as of Friday. I would like to go and put on record my notes. I won't burden you by listening to what I had said, because some of it is no longer relevant, to be fair. But I have noticed that things go back and forth. I would like to make sure that the objections that we had on behalf of what is being submitted are on the record for future reference, should there be a turn back of opinion. I'd like to add my comments only in reference that, in fact, our proposal, which we have circulated to the planner, is that if the properties along San Joseph, which are being rezoned RMFS, should actually be facing San Joseph, and therefore they would be consistent with the urban plan for San Joseph as a through street, and then a back lane be put there. It's for more planning and more changes, but I feel then that would actually maintain the character of Message Nevers as single family homes, which is now proposed and endorsed. But that the
Walter,
other.
Could I just get. So you're suggesting that Message and Nevers become flanking lots?
That those two brown blocks, yeah, those two plots here face St. Joseph, so that the streets of only because at that same, it would create a buffer zone in the same philosophy that was discussed earlier between houses, between multiple and single houses.
Okay.
The committee that had discussed the matter would now have no objection in general, although the number of points were made, to the zoning being applied if it stays single housing. That's what we were expecting. It is a variation from what the brief was when Qualico bought the land, so we have some concern with the contractual obligation. The plan referred to by our previous speakers, which is the May and the June 205 plans here. They seem to be produced by McGowan Russell on a rather regular basis to suit the occasion. It's hard to pin down which is the correct one, but that was the plan that was always referred to until recently. And that plan is the one that we're looking to do. On the matter of the Schedule B for the development agreement, it was on record at a previous dispute that we raised, association, that the order, the expression of interest, and the motions passed by City Council on June 20th, 2007, specifically accepting and endorsing the purchase by Qualico of the said 24 lots for $360,000, this is actually $15,000 per lot, provided as part of the purchase responsibility payment for all of the entire infrastructure, which were then estimated at $1.820 million. So we find with great trepidation the debate that now suggests that the money be found somewhere else. Our city is short of money. You're short of money to meet all the obligations that your citizens and voters want, be it parks and facilities. We find that this attempt by Councillor Vandal, which is honorable towards the people that shouldn't have to pay, really deprives other people of money. That it's a subsidy to Qualico. It's not a help to the local residents. It's being misadvertised. And I'd like to go on record for that. We also believe very strongly that other developers in the area, on the east side of the, on the south side of the High Line, have buried wires, have gone through the expense of burying hydro, telephone, and so on, and we see no reason why this requirement, which is part of the recommendation, should be waived. So we're very much against that. If the lane should become property, we notice that in the zoning, it's incorporated, it was incorporated in Qualico's application as if they already owned it. It's been offered as a purchase by a possible resident. I would like to make sure for the record it's not in the report. And whereas you declared surplus property a few weeks ago at a meeting I also attended with proceeds for one purpose or another, on this particular motion, should the lane become private property for development, there's no reference that it would be sold at either the historical value or the commercial value, which we find leads for abuse between parties discussing that lane. We'd like to go on record. Is it being sold or is it being given as an additional subsidy to the developer? Because it's not on the record. Since you took the time to say it before.
I'll get the administration to respond to that, Walter. Okay. We've got a set process for doing lane closures. It's pretty standard.
Okay. It's just that when you're releasing a surplus property last month, you were saying exactly how you're going to deal with it. This time you didn't, which was a surprise to us. I believe that the item 4 has been eliminated, which is good news. And I do want to say, in spite of my comments, which people always feel that we're being negative, we definitely are very positive about what was presented today. Substantially, Qualico is slowly coming in line with what the community was asking. I am not as personally objectionable to the three RMF lots. I don't live there, to be fair, to those that have lived there, including those on my committee that live there and have raised objections. But I do recognize sometimes a need for compromise. But I do believe they should be facing San Jose eventually for a more harmonious architectural profile of, the two streets there. And we felt that they were consistent with what the public generally accepted at the September 29 public meeting of 50% housing and 50% townhouses as a general guideline, which was less than the original wanted, although a bit more than was originally approved in the purchase agreement that they signed in 2008, which the City Council approved in 2007, which we do find strange that changes take place so easily and almost privately. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Walter.
Merci, Walter. One question. The RMF, Walter?
Yes.
The RMFS parcels of land on the north side of Hébert and Messager, are you suggesting those face Saint Joseph?
Yes. So that the character of Messager and Hébert will be preserved as single family outdwelling, but that they be separated by a lane, yeah.
But I mean, the purpose of the back lane is to have to access the backyards of those.
No, I realize that. And if you do that, I personally would not, it's not a deal breaker. In fact, if I was Qualico, I would jump on Kleinschmidt's side and go back to see the planner because it adds two additional units using the density of two extra townhouses, which would not be detrimental.
You would still require variance as well.
I realize that, yeah.
You've got I'd be
picking favor then.
The amount of land area that you can use in there for building. It gets quite complicated and. We'll bring it up with the planners and with Paul.
Good. Merci, Walter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next on my list, Paul Lussier.
Good evening. Paul Lussier at 139 Hébert Street. I'd like to say that I agree with everything that's been said up to now, just to be on record. And I have a few more points that have been said already, but I do have a question about the process, about the expression of interest and how it works. Because on the expression of interest back in 2002, but then when Qualico acquired the land in 2007, they acquired the land for $360,000 for 24 lots. That's $15,000 a lot. And my question is, because it does say on there, like Walter had said, and I'll get it from here, it says, it will therefore be necessary for the successful proponent to enter a servicing agreement with the city in order to for the proponent to complete, at its expense, the outstanding services on all streets and lanes, excluding Rue d'Arvaux Lane within this area. So that seems clear to me. So my question is, why is this not being done? And it goes on to say, the services required are concrete pavement on streets and lanes, concrete sidewalks, boulevard landscaping and tree planting, as well as the installation of underground hydro, telephone, cable utilities, all as may be required to complete the services to the requirements of current utility standards for emerging neighborhoods. So that's pretty clear to me. So I'm just wondering why that is not being done. The taxpayers of Winnipeg are supposed to pay for this now? Is that what's going on? So that's my point. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Paul.
Thank
next,
you, Paul.
I have David Dandino. Three David's at 311 Dumoulin.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir, David.
Je m'appelle David Dandeneau. Je demeure à 311 rue Dumoulin. Dans les consultations publiques avec le développeur, j'ai toujours apporté mon appui au redéveloppement puis au processus. Mais la raison pourquoi je m'oppose ce soir, the reason I oppose tonight, because I've always been in the past very supportive of the development, the process as we were having meetings with the developer, basically for two reasons. One, I heard rumors that there was local improvements to be applied to non-resident landowners. I am a non-resident landowner, but been involved in the area since the early 80s, and I have a whole book full of meetings and planning that we did with the residents, resident association. If that's the case, if there is an intent to put local improvements on non-resident landowners, I'm not in agreement with that. Secondly, after the developer suggested a lane closure or had to go back or delayed this to have a lane closure, I realized that I should do the same with the small lane between Rue Hébert and the back lane of Darvaux. I have the two properties on either side of the lane, and that little lane services only my properties. So if that's the case, then I should request to the city that lane closure because it doesn't affect anybody else but me. And so seeing that I will be requesting a lane closure, I believe it would be wise, good planning to examine the impact of this closing on the roadworks proposed on Hébert. So basically I'm asking you to delay this so we can look with the city and what impact that lane closing will have on the roadworks on Hébert, because it's no use to do roadworks and run something in the back lane there if we're going to close it. That's all.
Any questions, Dan?
You know where that lane is? You see it on the map?
Yeah, I see it on the map.
Yeah.
David, you're owner of what properties?
The first two of R2 on the east side of that lane.
First and then two properties on the east side of the lane, okay.
Yeah, and then that corner one, corner of Taché and Ibaya.
Okay.
And then the other one, the corner of Taché and the back lane between Darvaux.
You own four properties?
Yes. And I had requested the purchase of that middle lane from the city when they had put the R expression of interest. I have a letter here that I can give to you, and I was verbally at the time. There was Kevin Lawler, I guess, that was the planner, and I wanted to consolidate that corner. And he said, well, either you submit on the whole area, we're not interested in, that was the response from the city, although the councillor at the time said that they would consider that, and if a landowner wanted to consolidate, that they had the right, the first choice to buy that piece. It's a small lot of 25 feet.
Okay. That's it. You got that? Next, I have Monique Mullier. You're just here in opposition. Did you wish to speak, Monique? Go ahead. Just your address for the record, please, Monique.
Oui, bonsoir. My name is Monique Muller. I live at 378 Gabouri Place. Okay. And so, Councillor Swadel and Conseiller Vandal, bonsoir. As other people have mentioned before, there's a lot of history here in this particular neighborhood. It's a very special neighborhood, very dear to my heart. I've lived very close to it, and that's why I decided to purchase the properties that I did in partnership with my my sister and brother-in-law over, I think it was 23 years ago now.
Just, Monique, where are the properties?
They're located at 140 Hebert, 136 Hebert, 842, 840 Tashi, and 836 Tashi.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead. Actually, some of the history goes back and involves Councillor Vandal. I was president of the Residents Association in 1995 when there was Sommet de l'Habitation. And one of the resolutions that came forward, because it was one of the major issues for the future, determining a better future for all the residents of St. Boniface, one of the resolutions involved a discussion of whether north of the High Line should be rezoned as a future park or whether it should stay residential, and if it stayed residential, how would we support that? So I'm just going to read briefly what was resolved at that time. That the North St. Boniface District Plan be amended to remove the proposed light transit corridor along the High Line and be replaced with residential housing or park. That the City of Winnipeg established a reasonable time frame within the Winnipeg Development Agreement to install the necessary infrastructure to develop a viable residential neighborhood. That the city sell the land they own on the open market for residential purposes, and that, so this was determined by the community essentially in 1995. And then in March 03, at another general assembly of the Residents Association, what was decided was that I'm just trying to summarize, so I'm not here that long. Following recommendation of the General Assembly, the land north of the High Line, known as Pointe-Hébert, was redesignated as future residential. To enact this recommendation, the City of Winnipeg established a task force chaired by Councillor Vandal to make recommendations on the options available for redevelopment. The recommendations proposed were, number one, that the city sell its land at fair market value in order to pay for the cost of the installation of the infrastructure, new storm sewers, and road works. Number two, that the city rezone the land and put in place a secondary plan. In 2002, the community consultation process for the Building Communities Program recommended allocating $500,000 to La Pointe-Hébert, and it was determined that, let me just see here. Well, following, Councillor Vandal organized several meetings with city planners and residents to inform them of the development process outlined in the task force recommendation. The process saw the development of a secondary plan with zoning changes before the installation of sewers and roadworks. So, what we have in front of us now is, I'm looking at the agenda of the Executive Policy Committee of last week, November 9th, 2011, and there's a recommendation that says that the land operating reserve be identified as a source of funding to offset certain local improvement charges in Pointe-Hébert, North St. Boniface, for owner-occupied properties with residents that have lived in their residence for longer than 6 months prior to November 16, 2011. and 11. This is in contradiction to what the community has always determined, has always been very clear with you about. And so this is why I'm opposing this rezoning, this lane closure. We have to go back to the drawing board if there's going to be local improvements put in place. And all residents should be, not residents, but all owners have to be charged equally if that's decided, but and not some who live there and others who don't live there. Some who live there don't have to, and others who don't live there have to. That is just outright discrimination. And we were absolutely shocked to read this. And, you know, like, I can't believe that you would go back on your word, which is essentially what's
happening.
Okay,
we're not here to talk about character and individuals. We're here to talk about land use.
Okay. So I propose that you table this item until such time as all landowners affected can be consulted on this issue.
Okay. Any questions, Dan?
No, I'm fine.
Thank you, Monique.
Thank you.
I don't have anybody here registered further for opposition. Is there anybody here in opposition that hasn't filled out one of these forms that wishes to speak? No? I have one group here represented for information, or registered for information. That's Pat and Lionel Vermette. Did you wish to speak? You're good? Okay, thank you, Pat. Or Lionel, pardon me. Anybody else here, before I call the applicant back to, for rebuttal, that wishes to speak who has not registered? Okay, Mr. Vogan and...
I'm going to need some help here with the changes in the motion. Yeah, Vogan. Oh, we got that.
Eric? So, Eric, there's a number of things that have been put on the table here. Maybe you can go down your list and reply to some. Anything that you've missed, I've made some notes here. I'm sure Dan has some questions as well.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. Firstly, I don't think I can say I've been in a development application with this much public interest where I knew everybody ahead of time. There was only Andre Vermette, the relatively new resident on Bear that I hadn't met before. I have chatted with everybody here, and I think I'm better for the experience. firstly, to clear up, I think the EOI, there was an expression of interest. Of course, the city was looking for people to step up and say, how would you do this? Here are some guidelines. There was a specific addendum in the EOI that made it evident to proponents that they could feel free to request local improvements. There was also a talk about bringing utility standards to similar to that of emerging neighborhoods. In my first discussions with several neighbors, it became very evident that we couldn't really talk about what the plan would look like unless we got rid of the elephant in the room, and that was the local improvement issue. I received assurances from the city that another means of dealing with those costs that would be for the benefit of others could come forward. And with those assurances, we were able to move to a series of open houses. We had, in the last year, we had an open house in April, another one in May, and a further one in September. In those open houses, I discussed the importance of pushing this plan as far dense as the neighborhood could accept, because I think it's a very important area, not only for the immediate neighbors in the community, but also the city. It was very evident that from older messages from the St. Boniface Residents Association, that density was encouraged. We want to get more people into North St. Boniface. Indeed, it is an area with great potential, and we want to be part of a good process there. The issue of the lane was kind of interesting to me. We never showed a concept of our own that had that lane in it, and as I understood, the lane was always there because in the concepts from the early or mid-2000s, the idea of Messager being a cul-de-sac was always there, and an alternate means of getting in and out was contemplated, and therefore, in my mind, the reason the lane had been suggested. The discussion around closing Messager or having it cul-de-sac'd quickly led to a realization that that would lead to much more traffic on Rue Hebert, including possible bus traffic, which has underneath it, as I understand it, a portion of the aqueduct. And we have to basically tread lightly on that land and not have such things as buses jump moving over it regularly. So I had proceeded as if a lane was not there, and in all of our presentations, April, May, and September, we had no lane shown there. I had talked about multifamily in there, and in specifically in the May open house, there was a lot of concern because we were not sufficiently clear as to where we were talking about putting single family. It was evident in that early meeting to many, although it was contrary to what I was proposing, that we were trying to put townhomes everywhere. Indeed, when we came to the September meetings, we showed where specifically we were proposing blocks of townhomes, and the exit poll, if you will, seemed to be much more favorable. We had told people this was going to be predominantly single family with some townhomes. We had pictures of townhomes on that on the board at that time, and I can show some examples of that right here, if it's of interest to you. This is a block of townhomes on Tansy Lane in Sage Creek. Those are actually four units on a space of 100 feet, with regular side yards as if they were single-family at the ends of the block. They are opposite and beside opposite single-family homes on the other side of the street. And as I mentioned earlier, these homes sold between $300,000 and $400,000, and are in the neighborhood of 1,600 square feet. They have an attached rear garage, completely finished, and they are managed by a condominium corporation.
Eric, are those varying setbacks?
There is some, what's the planner's word, articulation within the plan there, yes. It's a very good-looking design. I'm not suggesting that that's exactly what we would propose here, because I haven't invited Randall to this to look at this property specifically, but these are the kinds of things we were bringing to Sage Creek in order to bring a little more density to an area and really, I guess, give some recognition to the value of good neighborhoods, and that if people live a little closer together, more of them can enjoy it.
So, Eric, while you have that up there, Mr. Kleinschmidt had raised the concept of articulating it over to
St. Joseph.
In our expectation or in our experience, we have not had any problem putting that immediately beside single family. We would do it with a similar setback. The roof line and articulation is similar to that which you would see on single family homes. And particularly on Messager and on the north side of Hébert, we think that this would be a good complement to the streetscape. And in the case of Messager, it would offer people with living room views of the park, the riverfront park opposite, and we would think that's very important. On the other hand, looking east from Messager at St. Joseph, we're looking at a utility entrance and a shed, and I would much prefer to orient the homes toward the riverbank park.
Otherwise, you end up with that side.
Yeah, on the south side of Hébert, Madame Belmar is there, the old Cirque Molière Theater is there, and one more home is there. And we were planning to orient that parcel on St. Joseph, consistent with the remainder of that block. And it has an open lane behind it, which we would leave open.
Eric, are there back lanes on the...
Yes, there's a back lane. Two quadruple garages, again, quite a fancy garage. I don't know whether you have pictures of the back lane here.
That's fine.
No, but again, it's a fully finished project, and the back lane is indeed very tidy as a result of the standards which have been applied there.
Good.
Okay.
Carry on.
To get back to the start, Real's and Mireille's concerned about this being a different application. We had, as I mentioned in September, shown a plan which is similar to what we put up here, and I'll go back and put that up. Plan that we showed in September showed four townhomes approximately mid-block on Rue Messager. That would have taken the place of three single-family lots and would have, in my mind, been something in footprint similar to which we showed you on the Randall picture. The thing that we were trying to keep flexible with our continued continuing to seek multifamily zoning was to have some flexibility in where this parcel would be, whether it have two houses to the west of it or three, or whether it would be 100 feet or 102 or 98 feet. We didn't know, and in our recent experience, we've been very reluctant to get into hair splitting before we have the exact preferred builders and buildings in mind. So for that reason, we, in what this is in terms of being different from our September open house, is that there is one multifamily site removed mid-block in Messager. Otherwise, it is the same. So in terms of this being a different application, we've removed one multifamily site and replaced it with three single-family homes, the net effect being a decrease in density of one unit. Now, Dave and Mireille, I've probably talked to them the most because those of you that know Point Hébert, they have done a wonderful home there, and they are indeed the pioneers, and it is very important to us that we complement that good work and try and build on that. I've tried to allay their concerns that we wouldn't meet the standard they have set. We'll do our best. It had been my expectation, as we showed the plans through the summer, that they would understand that we would try and put homes next to them that would be similar in style, quality, and value. And in recent discussions with them, I was continuing to hear this concern about the multifamily zoning, even though we were talking single family, and I thought removing that one parcel could really clean up this whole story. Indeed, the other multifamily parcel that we had on the south side of Hébert next to the piece which fronts St. Joseph was shown multifamily in case we were talking closing the lane. The neighbor there said she doesn't want a lane beside her, that's Madame Belma, and we stuck with this plan and left the lane open. So that's the way we're working that. Again, I can only say that three open houses and the familiarity that I've gained with a number of the people in the area would make me think that this is no different application than what we've been talking about, but I think a final and good refinement of it. The much higher density, we are pushing the density a bit here, and perhaps it is almost symbolic at this point, but if this were to go totally single family, we would have four less homes. And I think the diversity and the variety offered by these townhome possibilities is worth the shot. I think we can do a good job, and of course it's up to us to make sure that those are good, because we're looking to sell the single family lots adjacent to it as well. I regret the lane closure issue. It did sneak up on me, and if indeed they want to talk about buying half the lane, then we can open up that process and see how it goes. With half the lane going towards their lot, we could figure out a slightly narrow lot configuration for the remaining single family. So it's not the end of the world, and if it indeed appears to be that important to them, I'm ready to talk to them about it. So I think if we can approach that lane closing process in an open fashion with them, I'm happy to do that. The only concern I had with regard to Walter's comment was, again, the orientation of the multifamily. I would much prefer orienting the multifamily sites to Messager and Hébert, because in my mind, those are going to be very complementary to the single family that we intend to build there. The hydro issue, which Paul brought up, the biggest concern of burying hydro is the refitting of all the existing homes that have existing hydro there as well. And burying all that underground, it is a very large process for everyone involved regarding new easements. The poles work very well in a number of areas of the city and are quite acceptable in the Exchange District and other emerging areas, and consistent with the EOI amendment in that regard, I think that we should leave it. It is another bone of how do we recover costs for buried electrical. We thought if we just step totally around the issue of burying those services and leave the poles as they are, we can avoid the issue of how do we recover for those costs. With regard to David Dandeneau and Monique Mulaire, they spoke of the possibilities of a lane closing behind their properties, which face Taché. There is a possibility of working cooperatively with them to get something going there. And I will also echo Monique's comment regarding the transit corridor. I would like to see a resolution of that. I'd like to see whether we're working with it or working without it. But it's very important we find out what to do there, because it would be a shame.
Can you say that again, Eric, please?
The transit corridor? I'm looking forward to a resolution of whether that transit corridor is going to be there or not. This is an opportunity to do something that would, I think, work with the transit corridor rather than being a retrofit. If we can know it's coming, if it's not coming, of course we can do something else. It does open a lot of issues, but I've recently been made aware that there are some reasons to think about it in a positive sense. So I'm not going to get in that argument. I'm just going to stand back and hope for a decision. Finally, I think there's been some talk about the cost of, I think Walter brought it up and some others. We made a proposal for these lands, and the lands you see here include some other properties which we've purchased as well. But it was a competitive proposal call, and we put our best foot forward, we thought. We hope to see new development here in the neighborhood of, on this area alone, in the neighborhood of $13 to $15 million in new assessment on Hébert and Messager. That will bring in a significant increment of taxes on its own, and included in that is much infrastructure work that we're doing. We've talked about pavements on the streets. We'll also be adding a lot of land drainage sewer, which is quite significant. And the only other comment I'd make with regard to infrastructure is that the issue of hydro and water mains, as they are very important to the feasibility of this. I have no other comments to make at this time. If you have any questions.
I have one. I just want to get this cleared up because I'm reading the results of the EOI from back in whenever it was that you acquired the land. But there's all kinds of conversation in here about local improvements and the servicing and existing residences. There's even a line in here that says, in addition, a building communities grant of approximately $420,000 is available to offset the cost of installing infrastructure along the frontages of the existing private and remaining city properties. Where, you know, I understand that people are here in opposition, they'll be cherry-picking, and you can cherry-pick, and overall, did you make some sort of contractual agreement when you acquired this property that there would be no cost to the existing residents for upgraded servicing of the roads?
No, our proposal specifically included local improvement recoveries and the building communities funds, which was in the neighborhood of $400,000 at the time, around 07, was a grant that was available for defraying flankage and off-site improvements. And it further had a sunset to it. I think it had to be used perhaps October 08 or something like that. We sought a specific agreement with the province to get it extended in order to use that money to pave a portion of Rue Saint-Joseph, which was done, I believe, in the summer of 09. So I believe that money was well spent.
And the proceeds of the sale, did they go into infrastructure improvements too?
I'm not aware of where the monies were directed.
Okay. Dan, do you have any questions?
Yeah. Thank you, Eric. If you could just go over the infrastructure improvements that are going to occur. You know, very, very, you already have, but I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. You're talking cement for streets?
We will be paving Messager along the residential frontage, and and subject to an understanding with the city, we will continue that to Taché. We will do Hébert from St. Joseph to Taché. We will extend Saint-Joseph up to Messager and complete that in concrete.
Yeah.
The lane on the north side lane between Messager and Hébert will be in concrete.
Yeah.
And at this point, I believe there is no requirement for doing the south lane because it's not being, that is the lane, the east-west lane on the south side of Hébert, because it's, I think it's still uncertain as to what's going on the south side. I think that's not included in this.
How about the lane north of Hébert between that runs off St. Joseph?
Lane north of Hébert. Sorry, the rain. Oh, the rain, yeah. Lane running north to Hébert on the west side of St. Joseph.
Yeah.
That we would do. That would be a logical complement to the development of that site.
Okay, and Taché will be?
Taché is outside the realm of what we're talking about here.
Okay, and it'll be deferred when, well, eventually development will come there, we hope.
Yes.
I hope, anyways. And, okay, you've already talked about the overhead hydro, the cables, sidewalks?
My understanding is we'd do a new sidewalk on Messager and one on Saint-Joseph. I believe that's it for sidewalks.
Okay. What we have in front of us is phase one?
Correct.
And if you get approval from council, ultimately,
When would you get in the ground?
Well, the remaining approvals would be largely administrative, expecting or hoping for a positive outcome here, and that would involve cutting lots into single family and getting builders excited about doing good things in here. I would also like to see a positive outcome for the urban design guidelines. I very much want to be able to tell people who would be buying homes here that there is a plan for the remainder of the area. It is a concern that there is much industrial land still zoned as such there, and there's little impetus or little reason for anybody to do anything other than sit on the property as is, and I'd like to see a document that would encourage people to get developing residential on the west side of Taché in particular. So I think with those understandings in place, well, we're eager to get going. If we can get that done for next spring, we'll be paving next spring, summer. Good. Summer always comes in June, it seems, this year, or end of June.
Okay. And no, as far as the actual, I think this is positive. I don't have any other questions, I don't think.
Just for the administration, I've got a couple of things here that we have to touch on. I think
I'm sorry. This is phase one. Phase two is going to be along the rest of, along Darvaux.
We have some property on Darvaux, and at this point, it's the nature of its development would be, of course, firstly subject to what is going on with the transit corridor.
Okay.
And once that's decided, then we'd be looking forward to some more open houses with the neighbors.
For phase two, so it'll go south in phase two, and all the land west of Taché is, there's
Taché would be, I think, the next big phase, and I think what happens on Taché would be directly following, or hopefully quite exciting, depending on what kind of guidelines for development can be encouraged there.
Just for the information of residents, if council approves a plan on Wednesday, the public's works yard west of Taché will be moved to will be amalgamated with six other lots, so that land will then become available or free for future development. I don't have any more questions.
Well, I just need to talk to the administration, just a couple of things. You can stand down, Eric. Maybe just leave the picture up there in case we need to refer to it. Robert, maybe you can help us. There was a question about building permits, requiring a building permit or some kind of permit before demolition takes place. My understanding is a demolition could take place without having a building permit, but there's a clause in there that says what has to be done to the land.
It's for residential properties, you have to have a building permit in place in advance of a demolition occurring, unless there's a hearing held at the community committee to allow for discretion.
That happened in these cases?
Apparently, from what Riel was saying, was that no, what happened was it was interpreted that by moving the property, it doesn't fall under the demolition issue. So when it was taken to zoning and permits, their read of the bylaw was that, well, it's being removed, it's not being demolished. So it's not two of the same.
Okay. Maybe the other one, Dan, if you can clarify the bit on the LI and what's going through in the six-month residency, because it was, I misrepresented that or wasn't very clear on when one gentleman asked about it.
Essentially, what's happening is after much work with the administration, yes, it is clear that when Qualico won the EOI and signed the documents with the administration, they're well within their rights to apply for a local improvement, and it was part of the contract. As are any other homeowner, we can each one of us can apply for a local improvement. So Qualico and Eric have indicated that's what the process is, and if I've been working on an agreement with the administration and hopefully council on Wednesday that existing homeowners who are in Pointe-Bert now
The city will in fact cover their portion of any local improvements going forward. And we have mechanisms to do that, and they're described in the motion. And I think it's certainly something that I've been fighting for the existing homeowners. And there's a long history here before I was elected. In fact, when I was elected, this whole area was going to be an extension of Whittier Park. And I got that turned around in 95. So essentially, if council approves that on Wednesday, the city will cover the residents' portion of LI as they come forward. That's not to say that it will cover everybody who owns property north of the High Line in Pointe Bear. For reasons that I'm not going to get into now, that was not deemed feasible by legal, and that's where we're at.
Okay. Okay, you got it. Where
representation is closed.
Okay, I think we've touched on everything from what I can see. Dan, are you ready to make a motion, or do you have any questions for the administration?
Well, I'm ready to make a motion based on what I've seen, and I'm going to ask Robert. I'm going to ask you the first question. What's presented here this evening is different from what was advertised. How do we reconcile that to the public in terms of, can we approve this here tonight?
Yeah, you can. In the instance where you're not making it, and what's been applied for more intense than what was applied for, you can downzone. And here, they're in fact not asking for a downzoning. They're just looking for a rezoning of three parcels, or what would be three parcels on the far right, that's along Rue Saint-Joseph. So that was included in the original application. All they're really doing is not asking to rezone the other properties, which, you know, also the community committee could recommend to do so as well, just in the same kind of sense.
Yeah. So what they're asking for is certainly not more intense in terms of land use than
nope.
What was advertised. It's less intense.
Yep.
Which is why we can approve this today.
Yes.
Okay.
This is a subdivision and rezoning, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Dan, yeah. Where are you at?
I'm going to move the receipt of representations be concluded.
All those in favor, what are we doing first? We're doing the street closing?
The street closing, yes.
The closing of the back lane, I think.
Okay, I'll move the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor, contrary, carried.
The receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor, contrary, carried.